And we're live.
Welcome back to another episode. And welcome back to Sam.
Yes, yay. The return. We
missed you. Last buddy. Week, he was out with, what's the injury diagnosis?
It was a sports-related hernia. No, I'm kidding. I had something important to attend to.
He did.
Yeah, he did. And then he attended, and now he's here.
Alec and I did a top 10 player draft with players. I guess the top 10 players we'd want in a game 7.
Yeah, if you haven't.
How did that draft go, by the way? I didn't end up getting the list.
We can look at our list.
Can I get y'all's top 3 real quick?
Yeah, a little recap.
Yeah, but if you haven't listened to that,
go ahead and listen to it. It was a great.
Definitely.
I should have listened to it.
You should have. You should have.
I'm a fake.
The way we did it is we were like, so if Alec took a player, then I couldn't have him.
Oh,
so we were
okay.
Kind of assembling, okay. But we didn't do it based on positions.
I like that.
Yeah, usually you'd construct a roster. We just did best available player.
Give me both your top threes, and I'll tell you who has the better top three.
So he got the, the first, third, fifth, in that order, and I picked second, so I got, second, fourth, and sixth. So.
I can't find my, okay, I had my top three. Keep in mind, this is game 7, so you're getting the game 7 player. I got Luka, Giannis, and Jimmy Butler.
Go ahead and read through the whole list. I mean, it's...
All right, yeah.
I know, but I don't... it'll be hard for me to compare the
That's
entire
true.
List.
Yeah, no, for... Okay, yeah, well, my top three was...
So, Luka, Giannis, Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty solid, I would say.
Mine was Jokic, KD, and Kawhi.
Based on those three, who would you rather have? If going into this year's...
I think probably Alex's list.
Yeah, that's
right. Jokic,
that's
KD, right. Kawhi. All right, what if I showed you my whole list?
Well, I would need to see his whole list, too.
Well, let me try to turn this around without messing the audio up. I can zoom it in. For the people,
you have it?
Yeah, for the people at home who are just listening to us talk about things that are in front of us, I had Jokic, KD, Kawhi, Booker, Embiid, Tatum, Dame, AD, Trey, and Jamal Murray.
I had...
Oh, my God.
I like the Jamal Murray pick.
Yeah, I thought you...
Yeah, that was the steal.
Yeah.
I had Luka, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, LeBron, Shea, Ja, assuming he's healthy, and Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson.
Let me see your list one more time, Alec.
Okay.
Just here. We'll just put them side by side.
It's these down here. That was my power ranking.
I thought they were both pretty good lists.
Yeah.
Like, we both said that it was fairly even.
Yeah.
I think Mick did a better job drafting the later part of the list, but Alec's top three I like better because Kawhi is a proven playoff riser. KD's a proven, well, the last game 7 I remember KD and he dropped a 50-point triple double, and because he has a big ass foot, they didn't win the game. His toe was on the line.
Make sure the audio's still going, Alec, just in case.
Yeah, no, it's still going.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd probably take Alex, but picking Embiid is laughable because.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking to draft him.
I would have drafted Embiid in my top 10.
There's some discussion. But, I don't want to stay on this for too long.
Yeah.
But my reasoning was, so he's, never been healthy in the playoffs. I mean, some of the injuries have been, relatively minor, but he's, never been healthy in the playoffs. And in this hypothetical scenario, all the players would be completely healthy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, so that is why I picked him. Okay, so...
Also, I'm a bit under the weather, so apologize to the listeners if.
Dude, you know, I am too. I might cough a little bit on this episode.
Yeah, if I'm coughing or sniffling.
There's something going around, man.
Yeah,
kick my ass.
I went to the health center on Wednesday because I've coughing and had a sore throat. I tested negative for everything, but I was coughing like hell in my classes today, especially my 1 a.m, and boy was I getting some looks. I'm on meds.
Yeah, it's
though.
Always the
I'm
worst.
I'm on meds.
We're all
so
just
I'm
spreading
good.
Diseases to each other in
oh,
here.
Yeah.
It's so bad in class when. Because I have, there it is, I have that mucusy cough right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I feel you.
And, you can't hold it in when it comes up
no, yeah, it's,
in
you,
class.
You just
it's
can't,
just
dude.
The
it
worst.
It is so awkward, man, especially, if you're in a quiet classroom,
mm-hmm.
And you cough, it draws all the attention to you.
I always wait.
I hate it.
If I can.
Sometimes you can't wait.
I know, sometimes you can't, but if I can, I always make sure to wait when my professor's talking and then let out. Or when everyone else is at the same time.
Yeah, well...
But I have such, an itchy throat.
Yeah.
I just have to cough. There's no other way around.
We'll wipe down all the mics after we're done. And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll do our best to sniffle and cough away from the mics, but no promises.
Did y'all listen to Metro's new album?
I did not.
No, but I was just talking to my friend Brownie, and he said it was terrible.
Yeah, it was not good.
For real?
Yeah, it was not good.
Do you ever listen to J. Cole's new album, Sam?
No, I'm not going to.
we talked about that a little bit.
Is it good? I heard it wasn't.
No, it's not. There's like a song or two that's pretty good, but nah, I don't like it. Yeah. It made me re-listen to For Your Eyes Only, though, which is a beautiful album, though, so I'm still happy it came out.
Go Kendrick.
Yeah, well, all right, do y'all want to, anything else we want to, I mean, we usually yap for a little bit.
This yeah, we do. Yeah.
How have things been, fellas?
I mean, this past week was annoying for me just because I was sick and I had two exams.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I wish I had something, like, new and interesting to update in my life.
I don't have anything new.
This semester's just been kicking my ass.
I have something new. A new song called Forever, though, by The Downstairs, out on all platforms. Go stream it, baby. The first one that I had the pleasure of recording on, so it's, I'm very proud of it. I'm very excited about it. Also, Mick, pop your shit.
Yeah, I have a photography account on Instagram. It's at Shots by Mick. So I would really appreciate if y'all went and followed and just showed love. I'm trying to just build up my portfolio, and yeah, it's just something that I want to get started and do down the line with my career. So,
They're genuinely like
just go follow
really good pictures.
Yeah, thank you.
You do a good job with it.
Thank you.
I have nothing to plug, but I will say, pretty ladies, follow my Instagram. Sam Macwill. That's SamMacWill.
I wanted my username to be Flicks by Mick, just because that rolls off the tongue a little better.
Yeah.
But it was taken. So many Instagram usernames are taken.
Yeah.
And like, it's just the most random stuff. That you're like, how is this taken?
By the way, last week, you know how I took a little bathroom break in the middle of the podcast?
Yeah.
Did you ever edit that out?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did.
That's funny.
Mick just
it wasn't
like
noticeable.
He just had to talk for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, Alec was like,
no, I was quick with it. And I washed my hands too.
He was
for 20
quick.
Seconds. All right. One thing that pisses me off. Coming to this school. I live in the glorious Creswell Hall, and we have like very like public restroom style bathrooms. Must do not be washing their hands.
No, dude,
it's
they
disgusting.
Never, it's not like, even Creswell? Just there; it's like everywhere, dude. People will be like getting out of stalls too, doing like
I don't
the number two and not washing their hands. Like that is gross.
Number two is pretty crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, it's like it feels like 50% of the people.
Like
I see
it's
in the
such
bathroom.
A like. Routine thing for me to do to wash my hands.
I wash my hands if it's number one or number two.
Yeah, as everybody should.
But I think coming to school last year and everyone was like, yeah, I don't wash my hands after peeing. Like, I don't think that's like.
Even
you're
if
crazy.
You're not getting your hands dirty, it's just like, it's a good opportunity to just wash your hands. Because you should do that periodically anyway.
You're still grabbing. You're still grabbing.
There's a. I might have to. Which one's the bleep? Yeah, there's a surprising amount of people who just don't wash their hands after number two. Like, that's crazy.
It's gross. It's disgusting.
Hygiene is important, people.
It we
is.
Probably should not. This is probably not the topic that listeners want to be listening
Maybe
to.
Wash your nuts, kings.
Maybe not, but it means a lot to me. All right.
I was about to go on another rant,
oh,
but
I
think I want to do that.
I do want to do one more thing before we jump in.
No, I'm not going to say this on the podcast.
Save it for after. Shout out, because the episode where we did shout him out got taken down. I don't know if we did shout him out last week, actually.
We did last week.
Okay, well, shout out to Harry.
Shout out to Harry.
Harry Millington. He's been our number one listener so far. And he requested that we did an All-NBA team. And I know that episode got deleted, so we can do that later for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later in today's episode. Because it kind of fits what we're doing now that
absolutely.
We're coming to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can. I mean, we'll probably at some point do like our full, like all three.
Yeah,
all
we can do
teams.
Three team.
Also, I had an idea, which we're going to do at some point in the near future, where we take every single NBA team and give them a grade or a rating based on how good they should feel about their future. And I think that'll be a really good episode.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one.
So let me piggyback off that real quick. So this is not our main segment, but I was thinking about it. And, like, I saw someone talking about how whenever people complain about their coaches, it's always like, why are we not giving this two-way player minutes? Or why are we not giving this wash vet minutes? What fan bases are happy with their coaches?
The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way. I know a lot of people just think, like, just because we got the ring, we've always been happy with Mike Malone. Nuggets fans had a lot to complain about in the past, but yeah. I feel like now we kind of love and have accepted him.
I would say Wolves.
Like during the, sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, you're good.
But during the time when Bol Bol was on the team, people were like going at Mike to put Bol Bol in, and they were pissed off the rotations.
I remember that.
And there's just like there had a lot of complaints in the past, but I think now genuinely I haven't seen a single negative comment about him like all season.
People thought that Mike Malone had like a personal vendetta against Bol Bol.
Yeah, they did.
That was pretty crazy.
The Wolves and Thunder.
Yeah. For sure.
There's no way they can be mad.
I don't see a lot of criticism of them, really.
I know Tom Thibodeau, like, kind of does everything to the extreme, but I feel like Knicks fans like him.
Yeah, but there are definitely some unhappy fans.
Yeah, no, for sure, but I feel like...
Tibbs is one of those controversial coaches, like, no matter how well they're doing, people will have something to say.
Like, there's no reason Miles McBride should be getting 48 minutes.
Yeah, and I've also seen, like... On Twitter and Instagram, people criticize Thibodeau like, oh, we need to win these games right now, but is this sustainable in the playoffs? Like, playing all these players, they're going to get tired
eventually. Surprised that you've seen something that insightful on Instagram. Yeah. NBA Instagram sucks.
It does suck.
I
follow a lot of intelligent pages, though.
Yeah.
Where, like, individual communities of those pages are generally non-casuals.
I saw...
Shout out NBA In Depth.
Yeah, that is a good page.
That's, like, my favorite NBA page.
I saw... I forgot, like, it was one of the big, like, sports accounts, like, posts about Joel Embiid having more points than minutes this season. And people in the comments were saying, like, this isn't impressive. Like, it shouldn't every, like, star be like this.
No.
That's, like, something that, like, only Wilt has done.
No, that's... I'm an Embiid hater, but that isn't a very impressive stat.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like as cultured hoop heads such as ourself, we shouldn't really spend time on like stuff like this because I mean it's just
like it's clear when you read like on Instagram especially it's like it's clear based on what people are commenting whether they're casual or not.
Yeah,
it's okay to be a casual. Don't get me wrong, we have the Casual Chronicles here.
We have it for a reason,
but they'll just be having an argument with someone who actually knows what they're talking about, and they'll just like
help that half of the people in IG comments are Warriors fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I was looking at something. This is kind of off topic, but I thought it was pretty interesting. So the NFL is by far the most popular sport in America, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like not even close.
It's not close.
Is it not close?
No, it's not.
It's not close.
It's not.
I thought, basketball's been gaining.
Or not, yeah, maybe it not has gaining been, but it's going to take like another 25 years before basketball even comes close, I think.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady... The greatest football player of all time. Unfortunately, fuck Tom Brady. But
fuck Tom Brady. I hope Uncle Dave is listening to this.
14 million followers on Instagram. Russell Westbrook has 25 million. James Harden is like 15 million. LeBron is 158.
There's no way he has 14. He only has 14.
Yeah, LeBron James has 158 million. Steph Curry is like 80, 90 million. It's just unbelievably... It's crazy how much more popular like the stars in the NBA are than the NFL.
I feel that's like also
I get it's more of a teen sport.
You see their faces and you're more engaged with
them. I agree. I just thought it was like interesting.
Yeah, that
I would
is
say it's a, basketball has a younger demographic.
Exactly. That's the main
too.
Thing. That's the main thing. More basketball fans are on Instagram. But still, like that's the greatest football player of all time. You
mm-hmm.
know? Like it's just such a glaring discrepancy when like Lonzo has more followers than Tom Brady, or just about.
God, Lonzo could have ran for president at one point.
Yeah, it probably got a nomination.
I would have voted for him. I would have voted for LeVar.
I'd vote for LeVar in this current election, to be honest with you.
Yeah. We shouldn't
like
get political.
It's like choosing between Beavis and Butthead. Not to get political, but.
Do y'all want to get into the regular segments?
Sure.
You have a hot and cold?
I don't have a hot and cold this week, honestly.
We don't have to do it. We have a lot to get to at this point.
I can do mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
so it's been a while since I've explained it. So my segment is Alex Above Average Player of the Week. So if the best player in the world averages 50 points per game for a week, he'll probably get the award. If the worst player in the world averages 15 points for a week, he'll probably get the award.
Who's the worst player in the world?
Mm.
It's a really good question.
It's probably
just off the dome.
DeAndre Hunter.
I was going to say Clint Capella. But
Clint Capella played good the other
night.
No,
he did. He
and
did.
That lost to the Hornets.
Oh, my Jesus God.
Christ. That
but, yeah, so, to my stomach so, but, so it's just about, or this little award is given to someone who's just been playing above their means and has impressed me. And who has impressed me this week is CJ McCollum.
He's been balling.
So in the last four games, he's averaged 30.5 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 4.8 assists. The Pelicans are only 2-2 in their last four, but I believe they've had some pretty difficult matchups. And I don't know, CJ's been kind of putting this team, the team, on his back. And although they're 2-2, believe me, those losses were not because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it's important that he's doing this because they're trying to make a push out of the play-in.
Yeah, he's had a good season too, like stat wise.
Yeah, when he's been healthy, he's been fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, CJ's still a good.
He's also
player.
Proven that he can play point guard effectively.
Yeah, yeah, which
a lot of people had doubts about. Like
he's also been shooting the ball really well this year.
Yeah, especially as of late. But yeah, yeah. He's so important to that Pelicans team. He's just mm-hmm. a shot creator. I mean, Brandon Ingram's a good shot creator. Zion can do his thing, but just as you know the. Person who they kind of like have a playmaking by committee type system with their team, but he is probably the lead ball
he's
handler.
The best playmaker
I think they're one star away from being a championship, like a legit championship because
they
contender.
Have all of the role players,
man. Oh my gosh,
every
they have
single
it all.
Person
Trey Murphy, Herb Jones is gonna make an all defensive team this year.
Yeah, make
without,
first team,
like first team, without a doubt.
Without a doubt,
he's
probably the best perimeter defender in the league right now.
Yeah.
They still have like
definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, they got like Larry Nance, who's solid. Jordan Hawkins, who's very promising and already good.
He was really good in college too.
Yeah,
at UConn.
Yeah, but man,
Alvarado's a good backup.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's like even like. They're like fringe rotation players are still like solid.
I think the
like
most
Dyson
surprising
Daniels,
thing,
when
yeah,
Dyson Daniels, you cannot forget about him.
Like when he gets run, he's good.
Man,
he's
him and like especially early in the season, watching him and Herb just terrorize the other team's wings, it was a sight to see.
Yeah,
the Pelicans will not be an easy out in the playoffs. Yeah, I know a lot of casual people will think that.
Yeah,
no, they're one of those teams. It seems like this year and last year. They were, like, fighting for a top seed in the West, and they just dealt with some injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know CJ, I think he had a collapsed lung earlier this year.
Yeah. Is that this year?
Yeah, it was this year. Yeah, and he missed some time, and they kind of, like, dropped in the standings. But they've proven when they're healthy, they're a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, you know, what's that, 16 games over 500?
They're still good, but they've proven they could be a top seed, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The standings are so tight right now. Yeah. I can't wait till the play-in.
And I feel like...
The play-in this year might be the best, like, it's ever been, I think.
Yeah, in the West, at least.
8th through 10th seed are all have the exact same record.
And there's still a chance that the Lakers can get the 8th seed.
Yeah.
I really hope it happens.
Yeah, I don't... See, I know that because these records are so close, it'll come down to, like, tiebreakers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. the seeding, and I'm not sure who has the tiebreakers, but... It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And I think each of these... So Golden State plays the Pelicans once. Or one more time.
The Suns and the Kings play tonight.
Which yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Be a great game. I'm definitely going to watch that game.
And then...
Shout out, Clay. We're going to watch it together.
The Lakers also play the Pelicans. And then they both have an easy one. I think that Golden State plays the Jazz or something. And the Lakers play the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
What an exciting time to be an NBA fan, though.
Yeah,
the Jazz
gonna be tight.
Have missed so many games, or Lowry's missed so many games this year, and I know 30-50 is a shitty record, but given like how much time a lot of their players have missed, that's not bad. Like they have a pretty promising future, I'd say.
Yeah, they do.
Keontae George is good.
They have good pieces and a lot of draft picks. I think they need to find a little more direction in the present. Like I would like to see them. Well, it's weird because like, what do you do with Lowry? Because you can't really bottom out when he's on your team, just as he wins you games. But
yeah, he's mm-hmm. really good.
And
he's an all-star level player.
And a lot of their young players are, you know, good, very productive players. But, I mean, maybe deal Sexton. Sexton's a win-now player.
I think Lowry will be gone.
I think you can get value out of Lowry and Sexton, good value.
Yeah.
Especially because Sexton's having such a good year. He actually missed his first game of the season last night. Or the other night against the Nuggets.
That's impressive.
Very durable. But Keontae George is a starting point guard going in the future. I like that a lot. He's been excellent recently.
Yeah, he has been.
Enough about the Utah Jazz.
Sorry. We got to talk about some. Sometimes you got to give some shine to those teams you don't normally talk about.
I'm ready for the award
show.
For
all of our Utah Jazz fans.
Yeah, okay. All seven of you that actually exist.
There is not a Utah Jazz fan who's listened to this podcast before.
Hey, you never know, bro.
Maybe that listener in, what was it, Africa?
Yeah, it was
somewhere
Kenya.
In Kenya.
Shout out Kenya.
That was so cool to see.
I wonder how
whoever
accurate
that is,
the location
we appreciate
are.
You.
On
yeah,
the break
much.
Worldwide, baby.
What award do y'all want to start with? I think we should start with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, three, shoot. I didn't even put this down.
You don't need to put it down.
I don't need to put this down.
Yeah.
It's Wemby.
It's Victor Wembanyama.
It's Wemby.
Shout out Chet. He'd be the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
90% of other seasons, but it's Wemby. Yeah.
Shout out Brandon Miller. Shout out Amen Thompson.
We all had Wemby. Mid-season.
Yeah, we did.
But
his case has only gotten stronger.
It's gotten so much stronger.
Yeah, there's no argument.
He's averaging, like, I think 6 blocks for the past, like, 4 games.
It's absurd.
Like
it's absurd what he's doing.
And watching him, like, play, like, it feels like he's better than his stats, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just
he's
going to
be
such a
really, really good. I wasn't buying all the... Oh, he has GOAT potential.
Yeah.
But yes, he does. Like, he may, I know it's so crazy to say, but he totally could end up being one of, if not the best player we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's
just
like,
cause of
we haven't seen anyone play like him before.
It's just like, I think it's kind of, it's not ridiculous to say he could be the GOAT. I think that,
it's just crazy to think about right now.
I wouldn't bet on it, but it is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he's such a, like you said, we've never seen someone do what he's done before. So it's like, there's really no cap on his potential.
Yeah.
He's got to stay healthy.
And
though.
It's just,
he does.
And it's so he's impressive that he's doing it on such little minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's averaging 29.6 minutes this year. I want to see what his per, so if his per 40 would be 29 points per game, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. And they don't even have the defensive numbers here.
They'd be ridiculous. But yeah, what I agree with you, Sam. Like his frame is, you know, he's a 7'4" skinny guy. I don't know if he needs to like bulk up a little bit or something. Because I mean, he's doing very good with his frame right now. But just get those, you know, muscles stronger so
if
he doesn't
break
anything.
If he does bulk
anything.
Up, then that's a. I mean, it's already a scary sight to see. But imagine if he. This is not going to happen. I don't even know if this is like physically possible. But imagine if he, like, builds muscle the way that Giannis did.
It's totally possible.
It's possible. He's 20
it's totally
years old
possible.
Right now.
But, yeah, I know, but 7'4 is different than
6'11.
It is,
but
with
but
the way, like,
yeah.
With the way the training system is and how good these coaches and training staffs are, it's totally possible.
Yeah,
that would be it's a scary totally sight possible. To see. That's all I got to say. Yeah. And now, if he does bulk up like Giannis and he continues to develop his bag a little
it's
bit,
over.
That's going to be probably the greatest player we've ever seen. But
yeah.
But yeah, that one's an obvious
pick.
That one's an obvious pick.
And Chet is having a phenomenal year, and it's kind of going under the radar just because of how good Wemby is. But I think that Chet will also continue to develop and everyone will realize that, he's also going to be one of the better players in this next generation of basketball.
I saw someone talking about this the other day on Twitter, I think. I think what Chet is doing is going under the radar because if you think about it, the Thunder are a very similar team to what they were last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They add Chet. J-Dub takes a jump. Shea is better than he was last year, but not by much. He had an amazing season last year. But really, the only difference is adding Chet, and then the jump from J-Dub obviously helps. But if you look at that, like their record between last year and this year, Chet has improved their team so much.
Yeah,
having a versatile defender like that,
and a stretch five,
yeah, someone a very efficient stretch five.
Shout out Cason Wallace too.
He's been under the radar.
Like,
he has
bad
been.
Under
he has
the
been.
Radar.
I remember he started off the year shooting like 75% from three.
Yeah,
and his defense was out of this world
his
as well.
Defense is incredible.
Brandon Miller also has been really good.
Yeah.
I still am not sold on Brandon Miller, but he's been proving me wrong.
Yeah,
he's been. I've been getting sold on him lately.
Especially watching that Hawks game the other night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was gross.
I think, though,
he shoots with so much confidence.
My worst take this year is that prior to the season, Scoot was my Rookie of the Year pick.
He was mine, too, dude. Don't feel bad.
And he has just been abysmal.
He's picked it up recently. Like, he's picked it up recently a little bit.
I do think he's going to be one of the best guards, though, in
the league
eventually.
I think over the last week, he's averaged, like, 17-9.
Well, no, it's... Okay. I got a little prediction. And I guess this is kind of segue us into our next segment. One knows what's going to happen with Scoot. He's probably going to be, you know, kind of for another year or so while he's figuring out. Maybe even 3 years. But in that third or fourth year, he's going to figure it out. He's going to be incredible. And then he's going to win the Most Improved Player Award.
I think
because
he'll figure
it out. Give the fucking soon. Award to... They the award has changed so much in the past few years. Ja won Rookie of the Year 2 years before he won the award. He was the second pick in the draft. Are we giving most improves to people who are meeting their expectations?
I'm glad you said that.
Yes, Ja is incredible. But if you're doing what you're supposed to, if Vic averages, 28 points next year, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple blocks. Are we going to be giving him most improved player? Is this not what he's supposed to be doing?
Okay, let me just say, I will say, in your scenario, Scoot would be underperforming and then breaking out. It's different with Ja, because Ja was really good, and then he took another step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I honestly have just been thinking about yelling about this for a couple days now.
I agree with the sentiment completely. Yeah. Absolutely. But
To piggyback off that, because that I did want to talk about that. Who is your most improved?
Not Tyrese fucking Maxey.
Okay, good.
Yeah, not mine.
I love Tyrese Maxey.
I was going to say that this is the one award this year that if they give it to someone like Maxey, I'm going to have a big problem with that.
Absolutely.
Whereas a lot of the other awards, I understand giving it to one or the other person.
Yeah, for sure.
And Maxey's the favorite right now, which is
ridiculous,
worrisome. Yeah. But it's not.
The award doesn't. If Maxey gets it, the award doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Or maybe it just doesn't mean the same thing as it does before.
Yeah.
But what's the point of it?
So, I wrote this down just because I knew that we were gonna talk about this. So Maxey averaged 20 points per game last year.
Mm.
This year it went up by about five to six. So he's averaging a high 25.
Yeah.
3 more assists than he was last year, 6 minutes increase overall.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different system and a completely different circumstance.
Yeah.
Where he's now a number 2 option. Harden's gone and Embiid was out most of the year.
He,
so
he
what
was,
do you expect?
He had to be a number 1
and
option.
What do you expect?
Yeah, he was the third option where the second option played his position.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
It's just. It's not improving, and obviously he improved as a player. He was an all-star.
Yeah, deserving all-star, too.
But we expected this.
Yeah.
And especially
with
the role change.
I think he definitely is a better player than he was last year, without a doubt.
Mm.
But if we're talking about, as far as, improvement goes, he didn't take as big a jump as a lot of other guys, honestly, did.
Yeah, I can go ahead and say mine.
Go ahead.
So, I mean... If Jalen Johnson met the game
criteria,
threshold, then it would 100%. He's a perfect fit for what this award has historically meant. But because he has not met the game threshold, I'm going to give it to Coby White.
That's also my pick.
That was my pick as well.
He had a 9.3 point increase since last year, 2.5 assist increase. And his first few years in the league, I think he was 5th in Rookie of the Year voting, and he had a really solid second year. But just the 2 years after that, he took a dip. People started losing confidence in him. You know, a lot of people maybe didn't want to see him back on the Bulls, wanted to see him in a new situation, or really stop caring about him in general. But he's back and he's great.
Yeah, what I wrote down is he went from being an expendable player to a franchise cornerstone.
Yeah,
and
I like
also
that.
Another thing about Coby White, he increased his points by 9.2, but he also increased his efficiency while doing
I was gonna say that it's pretty much the same, if not a little better, his splits from what he was doing last year.
Yeah.
And he increased his points per game by around 10.
Yeah.
So that's super impressive.
And when a player takes that big of a jump, you expect their efficiency to drop a little bit, which is okay, but he increased his, which is like really, really impressive.
What more can you ask?
I'm really hoping they give it to Coby White.
Yeah.
Because I also...
If not, this award is fucking
Dude, I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they're going to as well. I think the award system now is just messed up. Like, it's just been destroyed. I don't know who or how that happened, but...
I mean, the media votes on it.
You know who my honorable mention is?
Yeah.
J-Dub.
I was looking at J-Dub too, but Coby White just had too big of a jump.
Yeah.
And to do that on... almost the same efficiency as last year, if not a little better.
I feel like the narrative around Coby White is important too, like the kind of story behind it. And also, I mean, J-Dub was really good last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's only a rookie, but he's still a very good player. And he's had an incredible jump, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
it's not like J-Dub was like a top pick either. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah,
he was a lottery pick, but he was what? Ninth pick or something like that?
I think it was a little later. I think it was like 12.
Or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, he's not expected to be a 20-point-per-game scorer in his second year.
But yeah, you're right, Alec, about the whole narrative because people had totally given up on Coby White. And it's kind of similar to how the NFL factors their comeback player of the year.
Exactly. No, it's the exact same bullshit.
They have the narrative, which is a good thing. They got Joe Flacco this year, which I thought was the right pick. And the narrative also helped with that.
He's on his couch, and now he's... throwing for 400 yards.
I think that needs to become more of a factor for this specific award and around the association.
Return the sanctity of the most improved player.
I think Baker Mayfield should have won the comeback.
Last year?
Yeah.
Damn.
No,
because,
dude, like, he had a...
That's not that crazy.
Joe Flacco had, like, that stretch of games, but Baker was, like, a pro bowler, and he was good all season.
Was he really a pro bowler, though? The pro bowl is a joke.
It is, but... But Baker had a really good year.
Baker was really good.
Like, I just think there's a much bigger sample size.
For sure they were going to give it to DeMar.
That would have been bullshit.
Yeah.
And Baker won a playoff game, too.
Yeah, he did. No, Baker's story was definitely worthy.
People just really wrote him off. Like.
Do y'all want to talk about... I feel like Defensive Player of the Year is probably the next easiest.
Nah, you want to do Coach of the Year? I kind of want to save Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't fucking tell me.
I do want to say
me and Nick might be on the same wavelength.
Oh my god. All right. let's do Coach of the Year. All
right.
I think me and Nick might be on the same wavelength with this one too.
Really?
Maybe.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Mark Dagnall.
Mark Dagnall. Sorry.
Okay, that was yours as well.
Yeah.
No, okay. I thought about Chris Finch.
Yeah, actually, that's.
I thought about Jamal Mosley, the magic coach.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he was like a close second.
That's a good one.
Like,
he's not getting any love. Now that I think about it,
he deserves some love for that for sure.
No, I thought about picking him honestly, but I was just like. The Thunder, okay, can I just read my notes real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So I said, the Thunder have ditched their rebuild. Years ahead of the schedule, became one of the best teams in the league. Jamal Mosley is also a contender. The Magic are as 3 seed as well as the Thunder, but being a 3 seed in the weaker East compared to the loaded West is less impressive. No one expected the Thunder to be this good this quickly, and they are only getting started.
Spoken like a true poet.
Summed it up.
But yeah, see the thing is, like, the West is... more deep than it ever has been, and for the Thunder to be a 3 seed in such a tough conference is insane.
They're also the youngest team in the league,
which
definitely factored into my decision.
Yeah,
and to make that jump from the 10th seed to we don't know what seed they'll end up being, but they're very well in contention for the top seed,
top seed, just
a huge jump that I don't think anyone saw coming.
And the Magic essentially did the same thing, but in a weaker conference.
Yeah.
Because I think they also were like the 10th
seed. And on
seed
a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I guess with more, with safer talent, because you knew Paolo was going to
Well, I disagree with that.
I feel like having a superstar is more powerful.
Yeah. But, like, we didn't know how Chet was going to turn out. We didn't expect J-Dub to take the lead. They're both great picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But Shea's just so good. He kind of holds a lot of weight. But, yeah, I do. That's a good point, though, still. Yeah, so not a controversial one there.
So you pick Dajinal as well?
Okay, so we're on the same wavelength for those first three.
Yeah. All right.
Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year.
I have a feeling that these next three ones will not be the same.
I have a feeling as well.
Hopefully.
Let's do six-man DPOY and then MVP.
Okay. Mick, I feel like there's going to be some answers that's going to make me want to beat your ass.
For this one?
No, not on this one. Well, nah, I'm not that passionate about this one. But the next two?
I don't know. There might be, but I'm going to back it up. I'm going to make you not want to beat my
Always
ass.
On some bullshit. Say you're sixth man of the year.
My sixth man of the year is Nasri.
Fuck yeah, it is.
What's yours, Sam?
Mine's Malik Monk.
Okay. It's not a bad pick. The reason I picked Nasri, so they're pretty similar in stats when comparing the two. Nas is averaging 13 points per game. Malik Monk is averaging 15.
And 5 assists.
And 5 assists, but yeah. Nas is also averaging 5 rebounds. He also has a block and a steal, basically, per game. But also, he's doing that on extremely efficient shooting.
See, I would think it would be between one or two players, and Nas Reed was not one of two players.
Okay. Can I?
Bogey, to me, is the clear number two.
Yeah. No, but we don't have a good enough record.
Yeah, and
that was also why I gave the edge to Nas.
Sixth man of the year. So, I think I heard this on numbers.
But I will say, here's... Okay. Let me just say this real quick. Okay, go ahead and talk.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say that Sixth Man of the Year has, like, only ever gone to someone who's not on a playoff team once. So there's a clear precedent on what the award is about. That's why I wouldn't give it to Bogey. Okay. But Bogey is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, yeah, Nas Reed is doing... like, he's producing those numbers on extremely efficient shooting, 48% from the field, 42% from three, which is really good.
It's really good.
73% from free throw line, but that doesn't really matter. He's a big. And on two less minutes, I know that's not that big of a deal, but they are the almost top seed.
Yeah.
They have been the top seed for most of the year,
and
whereas the Kings are fighting for a play-in spot.
Yeah, a big reason why I chose Nas Reed is because, you know, Kat's been out for a decent amount of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Nas Reed has just stepped in and given them really good minutes starting. I know it's like a six-man award, but for me, when a player's out, like, I value when, like, someone can come in and replace, like, an injury.
And that's another argument for Bogey, too.
I could see them.
Spot starter.
Yeah, for sure.
I could see them saying, though, that hurts Nas Reed's case.
Yeah,
a part of the reason why I picked Malik.
That's
over
fair.
Bogey.
That's fair.
But here's the thing: no six man elevates their team offense more than Malik Monk. It's not even close.
That's true.
Like,
it ain't all about the offense, though.
That's true. That's true. But he's averaging 15-5, 57% true shooting, exactly the same as Bogey's. And the way he takes over fourth quarters,
yeah, no,
it's
for sure.
not. I mean, like he's able to take over a game,
mm-hmm.
like. So much better than Bogey and Nas Reed. And I'm not, like, that's not necessarily the main factor.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Malik Monk is he's played 72 games this season off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he is their offense.
Like, no, I totally absolutely. Agree with you.
Their
absolutely.
Offense would be so flat without him coming off the bench.
He was my pick in the midseason awards strictly because of that reason. Like, if you watch the games, Malik Monk, like, there's no other player in basketball that impacts his team off the bench more than Malik Monk does.
There's also a stat that kind of measures this. Shout out to NBA In Depth once again, because I was, like, looking at his picks. But there's a stat called load percentage, and it measures offensive load. It's kind of like usage rate, but I've heard it's a more accurate representation. Malik's is 42.5, which is the highest by far of a player off the bench. Number two is Bogey's, which is 31.9.
Is that offensive only?
Well, it's just like
overall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so Malik is leading. Yeah. Like,
he can take big loads.
No, I don't think that.
Pause.
I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
No, but that was my argument. I don't think Nasri's a bad pick either. He's number three.
I just had to give the edge to him just because the Timberwolves have been doing so well.
And because I love Nasri.
I love Nasri.
Do you see him shout out that one guy who had his towel at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
I didn't know. That's funny.
He was in a post-game interview. Dude. He was like, shout out to that one dude who had my towel at WrestleMania.
Shout out to my friend Jacob. He has a Nasri cutout above his computer.
What?
Did y'all I know y'all don't really use NBA Twitter like that, but did y'all see the Timberwolves Brazil account?
No.
They would post some wild shit.
About Naz Reid?
Well, I'm sure they've done some Naz Reid stuff too, but like whenever they beat the Raptors, they just posted this like animated video of this wolf fucking a raptor.
What?
And like they've been like responded to by like
that's the Timberwolves. Insane.
They got banned, but
dude, the international accounts are always the ones that are on some
so
crazy.
Out
have
of
you
pocket.
Seen Duolingo India?
No.
They post some crazy shit too.
Dude, the Spanish KFC account, this is it's an old thing. I probably wouldn't even laugh at what they post now, but back in the day, like a couple years ago, they're so fucking funny.
That's crazy.
Dude, the NBA, you know that one meme that the NBA India account posted like years ago when Gerald Green was on a tear and it was like, who would win in a 1v1, Prime Jordan or Prime Gerald Green? Y'all have never seen that meme?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, it comes up on my social media all the
That's
time.
That's really funny though. Gerald Green, obviously.
Yeah.
We don't for the
sure.
90s.
We don't the 90s. I love Gerald Green.
All right, it's time to get to the juicy stuff. Depoy.
All right, I'm going to
go ahead.
Start with mine. Rudy Gobert.
Well,
oh
boring.
All right. Go ahead, just say yours and we'll rebuttal.
Okay. So, the defensive
this should be like a little not a debate, but
oh, it'll
we
be
gotta, we gotta prove, we gotta really
I don't really
prove
feel
it.
That strongly about my pick, though,
I feel
honestly.
Pretty, I feel pretty strongly.
I feel pretty strongly in that line. Okay. Defensive Player of the Year. It's an award that goes to players who anchor the top defenses in the league. NBA.com has, so the Timberwolves have the best defensive rating in the league. The gap from 1 to 2 is the same. Is around the same as the gap from 2 to 10. So they are by mm-hmm. far, in a way, the best defensive.
That's line. A team, though.
Yes.
I don't mean to
yes.
interrupt.
Yes, no, I understand that. But he is the anchor of that team. And at total team defense they have. And also, if you look at individual, what's it called? Well, actually, let's look up individual defensive ratings.
So I could actually give you that off the top of my head.
Okay.
Ant is the highest defensive or highest, how do I phrase this? He's the highest rated defensive guard this year.
Mm, but he? I think Jokic is the highest rated defensive
no,
big.
No, it's so Gobert. It's Gobert.
I know yeah. Jokic is somewhere
well,
up there really Wemby's high.
Too.
So
that
I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
That well, rating is not that like accurate, I will say.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the team's defense. Okay, yes, Ant is a very good defender, but look me in the eyes and tell me that Rudy Gobert does not anchor that defense.
No, you're right.
He does.
Yes, yeah, one of the best rim protectors of all time, still defending it as good as he ever has before. They're so good at guarding the paint. We know who Rudy Gobert is. He's been doing this for years. This is nothing new. He's in a better situation defensively, too, so where he's not having to overextend himself and, you know, be in places that he doesn't belong on defense. And he's playing his role perfectly.
I was going to pick him until he got 40 piece by Jokic the other night in the most important game of the season.
That, it happens.
Is that all?
I mean, yeah. And also, whoever you're about to pick, I'm sure we'll get 50 pieced.
He already has gotten 40 piece by Jokic once.
Okay, so I totally understand what you're saying, and I think he's going to win the award, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad pick, but that team is loaded defensively. Like, you didn't even mention Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
You didn't even mention Kat, who is an underrated defender.
He's an improved defender.
He's an
but
improved defender, but he's far from elite on that end.
So, my pick is Wemby, as you can assume.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You were waiting to do that. You were waiting to do
it
that.
It actually popped in my head like 10 seconds ago.
I do know what I'm talking about, though, and here's why.
Okay.
So,
good transition.
He has 24 games with at least five blocks, one of those being a 10-block game. He's not too far behind Rudy Gobert in terms of defensive rating as an individual. Rudy Gobert's is 104. Wemby's is 106. And as of a month ago, he had 66% more stocks, which is steals and blocks, than Rudy Gobert, and 81% more recovered stocks, which is basically creating a turnover.
Okay.
All which right. is absurd.
Yeah, no, no. Okay. Although I wholeheartedly disagree, Wimby's a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have anything else to say? Or?
No, that was the main thing. It's mainly just how the versatility when it comes to Wemby, because not only can he lead the league in blocks and get you at least four a game.
But he can guard the perimeter, too.
He can guard the perimeter. And that one clip the other week that came out when the Grizzlies were on a 3-on-1 and Wemby stopped it.
No, did you watch
the clip? I watched the whole clip.
He overextended and they scored.
But did you see he got no help? He stopped the fast break, though.
He did stop the fast break, but they still...
On a 3-on-1.
Yeah, I know. They still scored because he overextended, though.
But he got no help. The two players behind him should have helped. There were two players baseline. And, they were just...
Yeah.
The Spurs are a shitty defensive team.
Yeah, they are. And so my argument, I also pick Wembanyama. I understand. See, this one, I like... Gobert is the safe pick, and I'm fine with you picking Gobert, but Wemby has more 7-block games this season than Gobert has his entire career.
It's just insane. Like statistically...
He's averaging 3.6 blocks to Gobert's 2.1. The Spurs' defensive rating is 8 points better when Wembanyama is on the court. And they're not a great defensive team.
They're a bad defensive team.
They're
abysmal.
Horrible.
But they're a good defensive team with Wembanyama.
But this is an individual award.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, the way he elevates their defense, to me, is what makes me want to give him the award.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I know that's not traditionally what the award is, but I feel like just the discrepancy of, like, I feel like just Wembanyama's raw, like, defensive numbers justify us changing the, like, precedent of the award.
Okay. I'd like to, I want to say, for one, Defensive Player of the Year is not a numbers award. That being said, his numbers are, like, off the fucking charts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm not ignoring that. But, okay, when you look back at those, I would argue that this is still relevant, because it's still about who Rudy Gobert is as a defensive player. He hasn't changed who he is as a defensive player.
Yeah.
When you look at those Jazz teams, they had shitty defensive pieces around him. They were still good defensive teams because of Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And you could argue because the scheme for the Jazz was to, funnel everything to the inside. And, you know, it got them burnt in the playoffs. But once again, it's a regular season reward. And, you know, maybe the Spurs should do that during the regular season. But they haven't. Rudy Gobert has...
They're not even trying to win games.
Rudy's
a part of it.
Rudy Gobert has elevated shitty defensive teams to being really good defensive, or teams with shitty defensive pieces to really good defensive teams. He's done that, and look, Vic's great, but he just hasn't done with that with the Spurs. Yes, the Jazz, they even had better defensive pieces than the Spurs did outside of Gobert and outside of Wemby.
Yeah.
But Gobert has done this before. He's still that same player. He holds so much gravity on that end, and when he's guarding at the rim, it's not about the blocks. He still gets, some blocks.
No, he gets, the blocks don't tell the full story.
And Victor, amazing defensive player, but he is not as disciplined as Gobert. Wimby, he goes for it all. He's very kind of trigger happy and, jumping for the blocks, falling for pump fakes. He doesn't even fall for pump fakes. He just fucking stands there. But but he's not as disciplined as Gobert. And, he's a rookie, and Gobert's been in the league for, 12 years. Of course he's not going to be.
I don't know if you can say that, because the stats say opponents have made 52% of their attempts at the basket with Gobert as the closest defender. 53% when Wemby is there. So it's so close.
Really? I might just be going off an eye test, but
But you're not making any invalid points.
Yeah.
No, you're making
points.
You're making good points.
But
so this is one where I understand. Like I it, it's I could go either way with this one, to be
honest.
This
award comes down to strictly how you view the award.
But you look at that percentage at the rim, and, like, that's so close. And also, Wembanyama's a better perimeter defender.
I think, for me, the biggest thing, midway through the year, I had Gobert, and the only way I was going to give it to Wemby is if he just did something that was, or proved that he was far better statistically or as an individual defender. And I didn't expect him to go this crazy. Like, I didn't even mention the 5x5 games or whatever.
Yeah, and
where
also
he had those five steals.
He's averaging 3.6 blocks per game on the season. I don't have the numbers right now, but I can guarantee it's a lot more than that in the past, like, month and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's had, like, 2-7 game blocks.
And a 9. Like,
and a 9 block in the past, like,
yeah,
two
yeah.
weeks.
In
the
9 last, blocks against the Nuggets.
In the last 4 games, he's had, starting from our latest, he had 9, 3, 7, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all definitely have, I mean, I still feel confident about Gobert being my pick, but y'all definitely bring up some
Four
valid
blocks
points.
Per game past month.
Yeah. His case is a lot more realistic in my mind than it was before this, but.
Okay.
And I understand what you're saying. You also look at the betting odds. It's like, Wemby's plus 1,000.
Yeah, which is
Gobert's like minus 200 or something.
I mean,
like that.
I know Gobert is gonna get the award, but if I had a vote, I would give it to Wemby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of this just comes down to a matter of perspective on like what the award is, has been, and should be.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting though, because it really is gonna be like exactly how it is on 2K, where Wemby just wins DPOY every year
and
from
then,
now
and
on.
MVP every year.
Yeah. You hear him say to Gobert, he's like Rudy, enjoy your award this year.
Yeah,
I'm coming.
I swear to God, he has like a little fucking earpiece in his ear with a PR guy on the other side just telling him to say this shit.
Yeah, he is always saying some good stuff.
Yeah, I love it though.
I love it too. He seems like he has good like media training.
Yeah,
I know. For
he's
sure.
also just a really good dude.
He's, yeah.
I really hope I can meet him one day.
He seems like a very intelligent.
Am I glazing?
No, that was cute.
That was pretty adorable, Mick.
All right, well,
I love you, Victor.
If you want to get to glazing, we should get to this next award.
Oh, baby. Sam, you go first.
Wait, well, I think we're all going to have different picks.
Are we doing MVP?
Oh, it's the big boy now.
Come on. This is like, they're shouldn't even be that controversial. It's Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with you.
Yeah, it shouldn't
what?
Even be that controversial.
You don't even have Luka?
I thought about it, but no.
Luka's number 2. I think...
It's close, man. It's close.
The Jokic is 3 on my list.
Oh, my God!
Jokic is 3 on my list.
Jesus Christ. Get out of this fucking studio.
No.
27, 12, 9 assists, 65% true shooting, number 1 seed. The most important game to secure that number 1 seed on Alex, Defensive Player of the Year. He dropped 40, 11, and 7. Okay. Yes, Shea's an elite scorer, but you could argue Jokic is a better scorer.
Yeah.
He's more unstoppable. He can get a better shot every single time
he's
with the ball.
A better scorer than who?
Than Shea.
Unquestionably
a
better offensive player all around.
And what else does Shea do elite besides score? He's good at everything, but he's not elite in any other category.
Defense.
He's not an elite defender. I'm sorry.
What?
That's it.
All right, I'm going to just
he's
a good defender.
He's a damn good defender.
But he's not an elite. Not
yes,
defender.
He is. He's leading the league in steals. He's top 10 in.
Allen Iverson led the league in steals.
He's top 10
James
in.
James Harden led the league in
he's
steals.
He's top 10 in defensive rating or for individual
that's a misleading
players.
Stat. So
he's
Jokic.
Second among guards. It's not a misleading stat. If you look at all the top guards, they're all up for defensively. They're all up there in defensive rating. Shea is an elite defender. He is.
I don't think he is, man.
He is.
Like, I think he's a really good team defender, but he's not the best on-ball defender.
He's like the third best defensive guard in his team.
I would say second. The only other guy I'd want defending their best player is Lu Dort. I would rather have Shea than Cason Wallace.
Okay.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah, Dort. So, Dort's an elite defender.
I may rather have Jada over
Cason
Wallace.
I have more notes. So, yes, Luka's putting up incredible numbers on one of the highest usage rates of all time, but he also has an elite shot creator with him who's proven he can be the number one guy in any given night. What Jokic does for his team is much more irreplaceable. He's arguably a better scorer than Luka or Shea, and he's inarguably a better passer and rebounder.
Okay. Also, when you look at the... Okay, if we're talking about... Oh, that says point guard. Well, okay, top guard defensive ratings. So, Mike... Okay, let me... Sorry, give me
and that's, are you on StatMuse?
Yeah, I am.
That's 2,000 minutes at least. Because on NBA.com, if you change it, then it fluctuates.
Well, so, Mike Conley is fourth on the list. Josh Giddey is fifth for guards defensive ratings. So you think Josh Giddey is...
Hold on, I need to relook at that.
Yeah. Luka is seventh.
It has a lot to do with team defense. Teams, guards with good defensive teams.
But I'm saying that he is an elite defender, regardless of how fluctuated it is. If you go on NBA.com, he's still in the top 15. If you change the minutes.
I think he's a great defender, but I just don't think he's elite.
He's not elite. Like, I don't think he's in the top tier of defensive guards.
I could probably sit and name 10 better defensive guards than him.
Really?
Shit, I could probably name, like, 15.
No, I don't think you could.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Anthony Edwards, Alex Caruso, Drew Holiday.
Okay, you could.
Paul George.
But
Jalen Suggs.
I'm talking about, I'm just telling you what.
Was
that a serious
yes.
take?
Shout out Fred VanVleet. He's been fucking phenomenal these last good. Few games.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he was going to be your hot player of the week.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks. Lou Dort, sorry.
Yeah, Lou
I'm just telling you what the thing is, some of those players that you named aren't getting nearly as many.
KCP?
Nearly
KCP?
As many minutes as Shea is. Which is why if you change the minutes on all these websites, it fluctuates so much. So I had it on NBA.com, at least 30 minutes, Shea's top 15.
Yeah, well, all these people I'm naming are like rotation.
Yeah,
like,
starters.
But, starters.
But Shea is getting way more minutes than Dylan Brooks or Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is probably somewhere in, like,
I don't think the minutes have that much to do with defensive skill, though.
They do, though, if you look at defensive rating. I'm talking about strictly... For that specific stat.
Okay,
I don't disagree with you. Alex Caruso is a better defender than Shea.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you're arguing
different. But I'm just saying he is an elite defender in my opinion.
Okay, I respect your opinion. I just feel like he's a
great... I respect your opinion, but no.
He's a great defender.
All right, well...
Not elite.
Okay, so defense, we've settled. Are you done with Jokic?
That's all I need to say, man.
The main thing for me, the way I define most valuable player is... Without
how sexy they are without their Instagram captions.
without this player,
if that were the criteria, Shea would win.
How big of a fall off does this team have?
So Jokic should be your MVP.
No,
like,
because listen.
Don't argue for Shea or
listen. So I don't need to go over Shea's numbers. We've already talked about it. So in the past couple weeks when he's been out, I told myself, depending on how well the Thunder do. If they can prove that they can win without him, then the MVP is going to either go to Luka or Jokic. In the past week, or in these past seven games that they didn't have him, they're 2-5. They lost to Golden State, Houston, a 24-point loss to Philly, a 35-point loss to Boston, and a 14-point loss to Indiana. And one of the wins that they got, one of the two wins, was a 3-point win against Charlotte.
Yeah.
So for me, that was the deciding factor this late in the season. Yeah.
That is.
And the numbers also speak for itself. Like, I don't really need to go over how efficient he's been. We all know.
Yeah. No, you.
We all know that.
That's no question a compelling argument, but I just feel like Jokic is. Still just as good, if not better, than he was, like, the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying he fell off or anything.
I just feel like he's more valuable than Shea. He's a better player than Shea. He's been playing better this season.
I feel like, though, in that case, like, this is the problem with the MVP award.
Also,
we could give it to the same player for 5 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you should. Sometimes
the same player deserves it.
I know, but I think Shea has... done enough to win it this year.
I think,
especially
Luka has a much better argument than Shea.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Luka's averaging like 34.
I know he is, but like my main thing is basically what I just said. This past week, we saw how much of how different of a team the Thunder are without Shea.
See, the thing is, you can't really use that argument for Jokic because he's missed 3 games this season. Yeah.
I think he's missed a little more.
No, I just looked it up. He's missed 3 games. We went 2-1. But historically, we've been terrible without Jokic. Like,
yeah.
The others, I think last season when he missed 12 games, we went like 3-9 or something like that.
What if the standings flip? What if the Thunder were to somehow get the 1 seed? Does that change the... No?
I don't think so, man.
What about you, Alec? I know you're contemplating.
I still think he'd get it over Shea. Maybe you'd look at Luka a little bit more.
Luka was my number 2.
Yeah.
And it was a close 2.
If... Just because, like, they're only separated by, like, 1 game.
I know.
It's between Luka and Shea... Or not Luka. Between Jokic and Shea, I'm not really using the standings that much just as they're, like, 1 game difference. Yeah. Thunder could be the 1 seed that season. The
1 seed's kind of just, like, the cherry on top.
Yeah. Yeah. The standings do factor in for Luka, for sure. Because if Luka was... Okay, if the top 3 seeds were... Okay, if you replace the Timberwolves with the Mavericks, Luka would be my MVP.
If you replace...
I can understand that, too.
Wait, say that again?
If you replace the Timberwolves... If you, like, swap the Timberwolves and the Mavs in the standings, then Luka would be my MVP.
I totally agree with you.
I don't think that's a crazy statement. Yeah. Like, it's got to be Luka's year soon, though.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, dude.
It's... The NBA is so talented.
I wanted to give it to Luka.
I did, too.
But I couldn't.
I had to be honest with myself. I have to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah, my argument for Luka being number 2, it's kind of like Jokic won the MVP, his first MVP. I think it was his first. Actually, no, it was his second because it was when Jamal and MPJ were out as a 6 seed. They're a 5 seed in a loaded conference. I mean, he's playing. His numbers are better than Shea's. I'd probably give it to Luka.
But I also think that people don't give Shea enough credit. Like, on a lot of the MVP ladders, he's 4th. Like, Giannis is ahead of him.
Giannis is playing damn good, though.
He is.
People aren't giving Giannis enough love.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He is, but would you pick Giannis over Shea right now for MVP?
No.
But yeah. Giannis is having the best season of his
career. He is. He's having a really good year, but I'm not trying to discredit Giannis. I'm saying this to make a point that I don't think Shea is getting enough credit.
I think people are giving Shea his flowers. Like, I don't know.
Not in the MVP ladder. I think also Brunson should be up there.
Brunson is a really good dark horse pick, yeah.
I mean, because I think that Shea is 3. I pretty much see everybody having Shea as 3, so I think he's getting adequate.
Yes, but y'all know ball. I don't know if the people who are voting know ball.
Yeah.
People don't talk about
that's why people listen to us.
Brunson's
we know
not getting enough love. The way the Knicks have not taken like any type of drop off missing
it's
OG
insane.
And Randall.
Yeah, Randall's out for the playoffs too.
Yeah, I know. And Brunson's been playing out of his mind.
Going fucking nuclear.
Yeah, like out of his mind. He's like carrying that team. And they have good role players too, don't get me wrong. But
I know Shea isn't gonna win it. Like I know he's not.
It was a good case though.
I think
really
he should.
Yeah, I think you made a good argument, but I just like
yeah. It's all peace and love here on
all
the On
love.
The Break podcast.
Unless I start talking about James Harden.
Yeah.
Y'all wanna make
bullshit
a
y'all be on about Trey.
All fuck NBA y'all. Team real quick.
Yeah, we can do that.
So
I think it's going to be pretty easy.
Right?
No, 2 guards, 3.
But they're doing it positionless now, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
Yeah, so we might as well do it positionless.
Okay, so our one with positions was we had...
Luka.
Yeah, Luka, Jokic, Shea, Giannis.
KD.
Yeah, we had KD for small forward.
Yeah.
But positionless, so... I
that
kind
of change. I don't
the
know.
The KD one is the one that's going to flip, probably.
Yeah, KD.
To who, though?
All of them.
I don't think it is going to flip.
Yeah.
Brunson or Tatum, maybe? Well, no, Tatum plays the same position.
Yeah,
no,
I'd
KD's
still
better.
KD. I still like KD over Brunson.
I do, too.
who
KD's a better player, obviously, but...
He's also just playing so well.
Yeah.
As far as...
Man, I mean, Embiid doesn't qualify.
No, you can't.
Shit. I'm trying to look at teams here.
He would qualify,
here.
Though, or he would be on there.
All right, so we said Luka, Shea...
Jokic, Giannis. Those 4 are set to me.
Oh,
I,
absolutely.
KD, yeah. I think after that, it's like...
Those are, like, unarguable.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else that you can... put ahead.
Yeah, let me look at best players in the NBA.
LeBron James.
Let me just look at the MVP ladder. Also, Mick, I'm looking at the official MVP ladder.
How recent is it?
5 hours ago.
Okay, so yeah, I'm talking. I didn't see that.
And Shea's number two. So
wow,
he's getting some every MVP ladder I've seen. Shea's been in the top three. I don't like. I haven't been seeing the MVP ladders you've been seeing.
I've been seeing some where he's four.
Sabonis is number six.
Wow. Wait, what website is that?
NBA.com.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean. I think that spot does go to KD. I mean, Kawhi is close.
Like, the Ringer, I think it was, and the Washington Post, they had just put one out, and Shea was like four on both of them.
Will the Ringer be on some bullshit? So.
The Ringer is okay.
I like the Ringer, actually.
I don't like their Rocket stuff, but I like their other stuff.
I like the Ringer.
I'm trying to find one that's not NBA.com.
Yeah.
Tatum, I'd pick Tatum over KD, honestly.
I wouldn't.
For this season, I'm not the biggest Tatum fan, but it's just like they're historically dominant. Like.
No dead air. We can't have dead air.
But also, like, Sabonis has like, maybe not first team, but Sabonis is someone you need to talk about. And
yeah.
Yeah, see, like, Basketball Reference has Shea at four.
I think maybe not for a main set.
Basketball Reference uses an algorithm, though.
Basketball Reference is good, though. I've used it
all the
time. No,
I love that website, and I love that website so much.
But yeah, I do know what you're saying.
All my stats off there, but I think they use an... I don't think someone picks the MVP rankings. They use an algorithm, yeah. So it's like... Sometimes you'll get really weird people in the top 10.
Next week, do y'all want to... It doesn't have to be our main segment, because I'd like to do the segment you were talking about.
I think that would be
Yeah, I'm like so excited. We've had this segment like in the works.
I just think it gives
weeks.
Us a chance to talk about teams we don't usually talk about, which is always really fun.
For sure, but I think we should do our like full like All-NBA first through third teams. And I would like to do All-Defensive, too.
Yeah, but maybe also are going to have to touch... Preview the playoffs next week, though.
Yeah, maybe we'll save that. But, man, how many more weeks do we have? My freshman year is almost over. Our years are almost over. No, I mean, I'm ready to get the hell out of here, but it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm so ready for summer.
Yeah.
We got to figure out what we need. Beautiful. I want to keep this podcast going over the summer, but...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, we got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, we're... Especially, like, in the off season, I doubt we're going to be, like, a weekly podcast, but... Hopefully we can get like a couple episodes per month. Cause we enjoy doing this. Like, it's fun. I look forward to doing it on Fridays every week for sure.
Yeah, this was a good episode.
Indeed. Well, I think I have a tweet of the week in here somewhere. If we wanna, is there anything else I want to talk about? Or cause y'all are screen aging right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at MVP letters.
Okay. I'll just get the tweet of the week ready.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
You got a banger for us this week?
Yeah, if I can find it, I thought I did.
I was really surprised you picked Wemby. I thought I was going to be the only one who picked Wemby. Yeah.
I actually, for some reason, I had a gut feeling you'd pick Wemby.
Why?
Just because
I know ball.
Yeah.
Alex is casual. That bullshit.
I knew I was going to get some controversy with the Shea pick. I thought you were for sure going to have Luka. I knew you were going to have Jokic. You're glazing.
I really thought
you're
about
glazing
it.
Ass.
I'm not glazing. I just feel like it's obvious, dude.
It's not a bad pick. You're not wrong, but you're not right.
I feel like it's obvious, dude.
You're not right.
I mean, it's not like completely obvious, but he is the... Like, just in the same way that Gobert was the betting favorite, you look it up, like...
Ja would have been my MVP, like, 2 years ago if the Grizzlies hadn't gone, like, 20-4 without him.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, I forgot about
you remember that.
They were so elite without it.
That was crazy.
Like, he would have been my MVP
Tyus
that year.
Tyus Jones was balling.
It's like the same thing.
Did y'all see that Gary Payton, the third stuff on
I
Gary
heard
Payton
about
Center?
It.
So
no, I do not know.
On what Twitter, he like, on his public account, he just follows a bunch of like freaky ass accounts and like
porn
stars. Oh,
I did
stuff.
See that.
And he tweeted out, "Hey, I'm gonna just continue to be me."
Hey, shout out to him, bro.
Yeah, that's
hey,
not...
don't let them change you, bro.
What is y'all's favorite Le Sunshine version? You know all the different versions?
I like the country one, dude. Like,
I like Le Bomboclat.
Le Bomboclat.
Le Bomboclat's pretty good. I don't know. I really don't know.
You are my sunshine.
Damn, that's pretty good.
My only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Okay, I'm done.
Also, pretty soon, hopefully like later tonight, we're going to make an Instagram account.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, make it easier to, you know, access our stuff and give us suggestions too. We would love to hear from y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anything else y'all want to talk about, or can I'll do Tweet of the Week and end it?
Tweet of the Week, baby.
Wait, that wasn't the Gary Payne thing? Was
no,
tweet
no
of the week?
I had a couple ones that were funny. Oh,
okay, okay.
Dude, I think, was it Drew Holiday that was following, like, weird accounts, too?
I don't know.
How much? There's a lot.
I'm pretty sure Drew Holiday has, like, a family.
Oh, he does, but I think in the past he might have been following some weird accounts.
I don't know. Let's not throw shade on Drew
Holiday.
Yeah, I love Drew Holiday. He's
catching strays.
So Tweet of the Week from Dopey the Dumb Fuck.
What?
is getting custody of my kids and making the too small gesture at my ex-wife in court.
That was pretty good.
Wait, I don't get how that's NBA related.
The too small gesture? Like that they do
too
in the
small.
NBA?
Oh.
Yeah. See, it was funny.
Yeah,
you can laugh
now. I got it. I got it now.
That was a funny one.
That was
come
a good
on,
one.
Guys.
That was a
come
good
on.
One. That was a good one.
Don't all be right. The dumb fuck.
I just
that
didn't,
was my nickname in high school.
I didn't put it together.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. But okay. Well, thank y'all so much for listening this week. We will be back to you next week with a very good segment.
And hopefully not sick anymore.
And hopefully not sick anymore.
Yeah.
Bye bye now.
See y'all later, Maine.